Last week I unpacked a little bit of the book of the Apocalypse or the book of Revelation. Tonight I get a chance to concentrate on all three readings. They're all drawn together. It'll be a mystery if I can do this, but let's give it a go. Firstly, the Acts of the Apostles. So once again I say to you, it's such an important book to read in the Eastertide because it gives us the unfolding history of the church. And what we have today is the first real conflict or dispute that arose in the church. And it arose outside of Jerusalem, a long way away, at Antioch, and it was Paul and Barnabas who had this issue brought to them. And what it was that there were Jewish converts to follow Christ, if you want to use that word, and then there were those that were non-Jewish. So we would call them either pagan or Gentiles who came to follow Jesus Christ and the apostles. The difficulty arose when the new Jewish followers of the way, as it was called then, the followers of Jesus, they were still very much in the mindset that they had to follow the law of Moses. So they brought with them into the new community, the new Christian community, they brought with them many or nearly all of the Jewish practices, the rituals that belonged to Judaism. Now, Jesus was a solid practicing Jew. There's no doubt about that. And so he began his teachings even in the synagogue. There was no such thing as a church or a basilica. He brought the message of God into the Jewish realm and he tried to open their ears and their eyes. So the issue arose where they wanted to hang on to the law of Moses and all of its rituals, but they wanted to follow Jesus. And so some of the people in the community who were probably more powerful, a bigger voice, may have exercised a little bit more energy perhaps, a bit more influence, they were saying to Paul and Barnabas, the apostles, these people, these non-Jews who are now following Jesus, they need to follow the customs and the law of Moses. And most of those were to do with ritual things, but one of them was very severe, particularly if you were a male, and that was circumcision. And the elders of the community were saying, Gentiles need to be circumcised to follow the law of Moses. And now this was a real issue for Paul and for Barnabas and for Peter, actually, because both Paul and Peter had already, by this stage, baptized two Gentiles. One was the servant of a Roman soldier and one was a Roman soldier. And so they were baptized and they were not told to be circumcised. They were not told to follow the law of Moses or anything. They were told to fall in love and follow Jesus. So this was a real dilemma, and it was that dilemma that they brought up to Jerusalem and what we call the First Council of Jerusalem. So fast forward now to our own day. There are many issues that are brought before the leadership of the church. Many issues. Because the church does not move fast, as you would know. And when the church comes to making decisions that affect the life of our community, they are always, or usually, going through a very stringent process. And part of that process is highlighted in that first reading. What the elders did and what the believers did. They went to the apostles, back to the mother church. So there are four little points that I'd like to leave with you this evening as we unpack that first reading and then focus on the vision that is given in the second reading from the book of the Apocalypse and the essence of the gospel, which is peace. Peace I bequeath to you, peace that the world cannot give. So firstly, when it comes to discussing issues, some might call it conflict resolution. I'm trying not to make it more than what it is. But when there are issues that need to be resolved, be it to do with the church or otherwise, Try these four tacts for yourself in your own life. Firstly, the issue was ritual, and what the Council of Jerusalem decided with the community was that Jesus had fulfilled the law of Moses, and we're not going to saddle you with all of the ritual. All we're asking you to do at this stage is to abstain from, and there are four things mentioned to do with blood. Blood is always life, of course. And they were to don't use the blood. I don't eat animals that have been offered on pagan altars. Don't eat animals that have been strangled. You need to bleed an animal, and that's really a health issue. It then goes on not to use blood at all. And the fourth one, interestingly enough, was fornication. And when we examine fornication in this context, it is really to do with do not go near your blood relatives, which is quite interesting. So it's not just the fornication that many adults would think of. It is do not consummate anything with your blood relatives. So it's really all to do with blood. And that gives it a very different emphasis when we think of the blood of Christ. So they are therefore able to transfer the blood of life in animals and things into the blood of eternal life that Jesus pours out for us. They're able to do that. There's nothing to do with any circumcision. You don't have to worry about all those things that are quite brutal. Just fall in love with Jesus and follow Jesus. So that's what they did. And they did that respectfully. So that's my first point when discussing issues that are a bit sensitive. Be respectful. You might reflect on how the election campaign, which is now closed, the election's at 6 o'clock, how respectful are people in the public domain, in the public forum, when they are discussing issues? In this, what we're given tonight, they were respectful. They had an issue that was very close to their heart, and they then sat down and listened and came up with a respectful answer. So that would be my first thing. Always be respectful with sensitive issues. The second thing was that they relied on the church, the leadership of the church. And when we talk about the leadership of the church, we say we rely totally on the Holy Spirit. And so certainly the church has the Holy Father, Pope Francis, and we have Archbishop Christopher, and we have your parish priests. Certainly rely on those people, but remember it is the Holy Spirit who gives any wisdom or serious counsel to those people. It should not be the individual. I'm not up here pumping or pushing my own wheelbarrow. My task is to be a channel of the Holy Spirit to lead people forward to fall in love with Jesus Christ. That is my task, not any particular issue I might have. And that's very important. And they did that at the Council of Jerusalem. They said that with the discernment of the Holy Spirit and ourselves, not one person, but ourselves, this is what we have decided. And this is what we affirm. And they gave that back to the community. And the people went back peacefully. The next thing I would say, so that's the second thing, respect. And we rely on the Holy Spirit for the wisdom. The third thing is, at all costs, and never compromise on this, Charles Fine, at all costs, preserve the peace. Whatever you do, make sure that you preserve peace in your challenging conversations. I know it's connected to the respect, but that's the gospel brought in there now. So the first reading, and this draws in the gospel. Jesus says, "My peace I bequeath to you, a peace the world cannot give." We are asked to preserve that peace at all costs. We have to go over and beyond. We are not talking, as Gerard Manley Hopkins talked about, piecemeal. Piecemeal is extending my hand to shake and say I'm sorry and then clenching my fist behind my back. Piecemeal is having an international meeting to say, yes, we want to have a truce in Ukraine, while at the same time stacking the borders and the ports with weapons to prevent that peace. saying one thing in a public forum and doing something else behind us. That is piecemeal. That is not peace. We have to preserve the peace in all of our conversations at any cost. And that is the peace that is something that most of us don't understand. Most of us understand peace in terms of, well, I got my bills paid on time. Life's pretty good for me. Peace is so much more than that. It is overwhelming in one sense, and it's hard for us to grasp. It is not just being happy and gentle. It is really serious business being a peacemaker. It costs some people their lives. That's the peace that Jesus is talking about. And the last thing I give you after respect and acknowledging the Holy Spirit and preserving peace at all costs is, it comes from the second reading, keep your vision, or keep our vision, totally focused on our eternal life. The word's heaven, and that's what we're getting from John there. He focuses on heaven, and what does he see? He sees the 12 tribes of Israel on four gates, north, south, east and west. And at each of the gates are three of the tribes of Israel. And then those gates, the foundations of Jerusalem, and heaven is always referred to as the Holy or the New Jerusalem, there are the foundation stones, and those foundation stones are listed as the 12 apostles. He says that. So we are connecting the old, the Moses law, and the tribes of Israel, connecting it on this powerful building, heaven, on the apostles, the 12 apostles. And then he goes a little bit further, John, in his vision, and he says, in the new heaven and the new earth, in the new Jerusalem, there's no temple, there's no church. All there is the presence and the eternal peace of God, which is manifest as light. There is no darkness, there's no day or night, there is just eternal light. It's a beautiful vision. Hard for us to grasp because we live by day and by light and night. So this vision draws together the history, and it draws together the new life in the church, and it draws together those significant people who were players, if you like, and all of the tensions that came with that. And the thing that gives us balance in all of this is the presence of Jesus Christ. And if we make that our focus here and now, but when everything else seems to be going to custard, our vision, our focus has got to be on our eternal life. We must do everything we can here and now to establish that peace here and now. Not piecemeal, but peace. Respectfully, by the strength and the breadth of the Holy Spirit. That's what we must do. And if you were Franciscan, I would simply say, Lord, my prayer is, well, you don't even have to be Franciscan, Lord, make us all a channel of your peace.